You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Very serious.
This is the Mandatory Samson Podcast, coming to you from Stand Up New York Labs in the heart of New York City. This is the 15th time we're recording the show, and little known fact, Oprah listens to this when she eats breakfast. Hi, everybody. My name is Chris. I'm joined by my good friends, Joey and Andy, and I think you're really going to enjoy this episode.
Who, us or the listeners?
Everybody's just going to have fun. Yeah, okay, it's going to be incredible.
Awesome.
Joey, do you feel the excitement in the air?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Guys, welcome to the program. We have a really good one today. Dare I say, a hodgepodge of things. I didn't have anything in so specific particular. Why? What's the matter?
My microphone smells terrible.
Okay.
Somebody was hot breathing on it.
Somebody's doing the old hot breathing to the mic. I don't have anything in particular that I'm like really upset about this week. Maybe one that we can get into.
Okay.
But we have a bunch of good stories. That Joey is actually, this is going to be a Joey heavy episode.
Joey episode.
Yeah, very Joey episode. Maybe we even call that.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Joey called me the other day, mm-hmm. and he goes, "Hey, did you see that McDonald's commercial?" And I was like, "No, I didn't see it. I wasn't watching." Joey has a problem with this particular McDonald's commercial.
Yeah, it totally upset me.
It really upset you. Yeah, we brought it. It's we're gonna watch it.
Yeah, I have not seen it yet. I wanted to stay fresh.
Okay, nice. That's great. We're gonna watch it. We'll explain what it is as we get into it. Mm-hmm. But Joey, I understand you have a critique of this thing.
Yes, I do. I'm gonna go more into it as we watch
sure.
it. But it just, things bother me that try to capitalize on past events that have nothing to do with trying to sell a product.
Sure.
Okay, sure.
You're a patriot.
You find it manipulative?
Yes.
Don't like it? Okay, exploitive even?
Definitely.
All right, well, so that's great. So I'm really looking forward to that. Joey's special comment on a McDonald's commercial is coming up later in this episode. We're also going to close this episode with another installment of everybody's favorite segment. Joey reads a passage from 50 Shades of Grey.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that one. Also, Andy, I think you picked a song to close this episode out.
Yeah, I got another song. I kind of, and the thing about them is I try not to like think about it. I kind of just go off, you know, what's in my head.
Right.
And today we're going to do a song that, surprisingly, I'm a huge Neil Young fan, but we haven't done a Neil Young song yet. So we're going to do After the Gold Rush live at the Cellar Door in Washington, D.C. from 1972.
Cool. Perfect. We're going to rectify the wrong.
71, I apologize.
In 1971. We're going to rectify the wrong of not having any Neil Young on this podcast.
Yeah, it's a great one. Like that, they just released that album live at the Cellar Door, and it's him like, we're in this like small room. The club's not even there anymore in DC, and it's this small room, and it's just him playing a piano and a guitar by himself, working out like all of his hits.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, like he plays he plays like Old Man on the piano or something, because he hadn't worked it out as a guitar song yet. It's amazing.
Great. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. That should be great. Guys, listen, before we get into anything, I usually save this for the end of the podcast, but I feel like maybe I'll put it at the front if people are not staying till the end, whatever. Listen, send us emails, mandatorysamson@gmail.com. I appreciate all comments, feedback, whatever. On Twitter, I'm at mansamp. Andy's at @A_Lozzi, L-O-Z-Z-I. And Joey is at Joey from Jersey, Jersey spelled with a Z. I'm also on Snapchat, at mansamp. I appreciate all your snaps. It's a lot of fun. I like seeing little snippets and tidbits from people's lives. Also, crucially important, if this is the first time you're listening to this podcast or the 15th time you're listening to this podcast and you haven't done it yet, soundcloud.com/mandatorysanson. Subscribe to the podcast. So that way when it comes out, you go on SoundCloud, you get a little notification up in the thing. It's like, the best podcast of the week is out right now every Thursday at midnight. So there you go. That's my little spiel. This is going to be weird right off the top. I was having a conversation with my dad over the weekend about politics, whatever, and we got back into the Eric Garner thing. And something came to my attention. I think I talked to you on the phone about this, Joey, that And I know I talked to Andy this week. Yep. We were arguing, and my dad brought up that Eric Garner didn't work at that convenience store that he was standing in front of selling the cigarettes where he got killed, and that he didn't own that store. The entire time that we were talking about it, I was under the impression that Eric Garner worked there and that or owned that convenience store.
Well, I think the media wanted us all to think that. Whether they knew it or not at the time, I'm not sure of.
Well, that's the thing, because I like to watch Fox when stuff like that happens just to see like what that the other narrative is going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember anybody saying that he didn't work there.
No.
Like, I think it just kind of escaped people.
Everybody was, I think one rumor came, not one rumor, I think one person said he owned the store, you know, he was killed in front of the store he owns, and I'm sure, like, because of the bigger situation, him being murdered, I think people just took it as, oh, of course, he's
right.
standing in front of the store, he's being hassled, that's a problem.
Right, well,
but
and
it turns out...
Yeah, it turns out this guy did not work there or did not own that store, because in a couple of press conferences, his wife was like, he was just at work, and he ends up dead. And look, before we get into this anymore... He shouldn't be dead. The cop overreacted. There's no reason the guy should be dead. That doesn't change my opinion about that whatsoever. What does kind of skew it in my mind, and by the way, my dad was like, do not talk about this on the podcast. I was like, shut up, Pat. Anyway, so I am bringing it up because I think it's important. It changes it in my mind. His job that they're referring to is literally him just standing out in front of that place.
Selling Lucy's.
Selling cigarettes. I thought he was selling cigarettes, Lucy's, out of his own store. So mm-hmm. it's like, leave the fucking guy alone if he wants to do it.
Right.
It's a little extra money. But no, but I understand at least why the cops would called.
Yeah.
Eric Garner, God rest him, was a bit of a nuisance, I'm sure, for the fucking business owners there.
Yeah, I'm sure for that store owner, he was probably like, look, guy, like, you can't keep selling cigarettes out in front of my store. I sell cigarettes here. I got my own Lucy's to sell.
Exactly.
How about that?
Right. Like, right. Well, I that's like going out in front of a McDonald's and selling one fry at a time that
right.
you made. It's like, what are you doing? You're out of your mind. So that, to me, changes it at least to the extent that, like, I get why the cops were bothering him. He shouldn't be dead and he should have been chokeholded, but
no,
weird.
None of that should have happened. But all we're saying is we now understand why the police were called in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they should have been. I'm sure the first, because he had been arrested 37 times or whatever. And I was like, why was this guy getting arrested so much? Well, that's why.
Yeah.
Because he was just selling fucking cigarettes out in front of somebody else's business. It's not, you know, I could see why that would be fucking annoying. Do I think it's like a high crime? No.
No, of course not. But like, if it was my store, if somebody was out in front of Stand Up New York selling tickets to the Comedy Cellar, like, I'd be like, what are you doing?
Yeah, right.
Like,
right. No, absolutely. Or selling tickets to Stand Up New York, but
right.
just pocketing the money.
It's right.
Like, all right. You can't do that. So anyway, so that's something I can't believe that I went that entire time and like,
didn't realize that.
Yeah, you got any thoughts
amazing.
About it, Joey?
No, I actually never thought about it that
right.
he was there on his own volition doing something he shouldn't be doing.
Right. Well, and actually, I think it actually speaks to that we're not racist, right? A lot of people aren't racist because they just assumed, like, sure, that guy owned that store.
Yeah.
Well, why not? Why couldn't he? And he could, but he didn't. So that's interesting. There's just some. So, guys, if you didn't realize that, I mean, I'd like to hear maybe a little feedback on that. What
yeah,
you think.
Please.
Because that was just an interesting thing.
That's huge, I feel like.
It's
that's
a huge
like,
factor.
It's not really making a lot of news. I mean, maybe a lot of people knew it, but I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I think if people did know it, they would have met like been like, well, what is he doing even out in front of there? He doesn't work there, blah, blah. But I never really heard anybody say that.
No. I never heard that either. And again, I still think everybody would be like, oh, that's awful. Like, that's
yeah,
a tragedy.
Right,
it shouldn't
right.
happen. But I think at least people could begin to understand why there was a conflict.
Sure. Well, and the other aspect of it is when you watch the video, when he's going, stop harassing me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's different if that's his store, but like, you shouldn't be just standing
You're breaking
there.
The law.
Yeah, it's
like,
irritating.
You're standing
right.
there breaking the law and bothering people. Like, come on.
All right. So anyway, but God rest him. Guy mm-hmm. shouldn't be dead. That's
yeah,
a shame.
No, of course
and I
not.
Feel bad. But, you know, yeah, that's not technically a job.
How do you think people feel that, like, were his regular customers that were, like, always buying Lucy's from him? Like,
oh,
after
probably,
he got killed, they were probably like, man, that's, like, my boy.
Yeah, they're yeah. probably bummed out, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would be.
I was just thinking of that, like, weird thing. Like, if you had just bought a cigarette from him and you were, like, smoking a cigarette, looking at your phone or whatever, and, like, you see that he was just killed, it'd be like,
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Ah, now I need another cigarette. No.
But where am I going to get one?
Manage my stress level. For those of you that don't know, we're doing impressions of Mark Norman and Joe List.
Who is our favorite comic? Well, my favorite comics.
Yeah, I mean, both of them are absolutely hilarious. They have Tuesdays with Stories, which is probably, our most popular podcast on this network. So if you guys have never checked that out, you definitely should. It's just the funniest interplay between the two of them. It's great stories every week. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's just these two comics who have a very unique, I guess it's not crazy unique, but they just have a way of talking to each other. It's how they talk to everybody.
Right.
But the fact that two of them got put together is just the most amazing. I don't even know how it happened.
Well, they just have terrific chemistry together.
Yeah,
that's really all it is.
But it is absolutely hilarious. You have to listen to it.
Yeah, definitely.
And
check
go
it.
See their shows because
absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah, they're always here. Yeah, they're on the road, I know. But listen to
Tuesday's
Stories.
A lot.
They always have their dates up and everything. Yeah. So, all right. So, State of the Union was this week.
Mm-hmm.
Joey called me to ask if he should watch it.
Yes, I did.
I said, yeah, why wouldn't you? I also watched it. Can I tell you something stupid? I was actually out that night. I went to something at the 92nd Street Y. I was seeing Nick Kroll.
Where'd you go to?
I went to see Nick Kroll and John Mulaney as their characters, George St. Eaglin and Gil Faison from The Kroll Show.
Yep.
Okay. They did a Q&A, and it was very funny. They're hilarious. But I was there during the State of the Union, so I DVR'd it. And whatever, I was end up at my computer. I was like, I'll just listen to it while I'm doing something else. I, like an asshole, listened to the 2014 one and didn't realize until the end of it. And I was like, where is that funny part that everybody's talking about? Like, he burned the Republicans and we're going to play that clip. I listened to the whole thing and didn't realize that I didn't listen to this year. So I listened to it the next day. So just if you think that I know what I'm talking about, just understand that that's the type of idiot that I am, that I could listen to last year's, which I
pretty
watched
impressive.
Last year. Yeah. Yeah, it's incredibly impressive levels of stupidity. But anyway, so I did end up listening to the 2015 one, which I thought was a good speech. I wasn't like, there was nothing especially stood out. I thought it was fine. Go ahead.
The one thing that did stand out to me and the fact that it went a little viral was the fact that Obama made the comment that, come on, guys, it's 2015, equal pay for equal work, and most of the Republicans didn't even stand up.
Yeah, I mean, that's like always the theatrical aspect of it where they won't stand up, but they didn't stand up for when he was talking about Obamacare. Obviously, they can't.
Yeah.
But they didn't stand up when he was like, now sick kids won't die of asthma or cancer. And like, they wouldn't clap for that. It's like, nope. Dude, so stupid. What are you doing? Like, oh yeah, so you're four kids dying of cancer, you fucking weirdos.
I counted twice, I believe, maybe three times Boehner stood up. One was for the veterans, which you have to do. And for NASA, space, because of one guy in attendance that we're talking about was going to go.
That was Gabby Gifford's husband,
yes.
Actually. Yeah.
Oh, was it really?
Yep. Mark Kelly, yeah.
Huh.
So he's gone to space for a year anyway, which is cool. I like that type of shit.
What's he going
to
do up there for a year?
Oh, just jack off, probably, Reed.
It's got to be like a snow globe after a while, though.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, that guy's just coming in his own face.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Living in his own cum.
I think they're testing the long-term effects of like a potential trip to Mars, like how like a long period of time in space would affect the body and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's really funny because you brought up Boehner. I'm watching it. This is how dumb I am. I'm watching it. And he goes like, you know, Obama says how a single child of a single mom can become president and how a son of a barkeeper can become Speaker of the House. And like, you know, Boehner gets up and they all cheer for him. And I was like, fuck, they're going to do that. They're going to make that same line every year.
Yeah.
No, they're not. They only did it last year, but I'm so dumb.
You didn't realize it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's stunning, right? I stun myself how stupid I am sometimes.
I had a stupid thing happen today, but it was just with Joe. So.
So you just kind of expect that type of shit to happen? What, the car thing?
No. I came in today, and we have our big board where we list all the podcasts. We put, like, sticky notes up. And I was looking, and I was talking to Joe, and we talked about this the other day. I was like, does Nick Vatterott, like, not come in anymore? Nick Vatterott's another really funny comic who has a podcast. But he hasn't been recording a lot lately. He's been really busy. And Joe was like, no, he hasn't been around. And I was like, but he was on Positive Anger. And Joe was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, it says Nick Vatterott. He was like, yeah, it's the hard drive, dumbass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We name our our hard drives after comics that are here that we think are funny. That's great.
Yeah. And like, how many times have I written down Nick Vatterott and put a post
to
them?
It's Nick Vatterott or Joe List.
Or Joe List.
The name of the hard drives. Oh, you know what?
Joe List, Tuesdays with Stories.
Hey. Yeah. I did that the other day, actually. I was, Jared from TFM was here.
Yeah.
And he was like, we're good for this week, right? And I was like, yeah, we have the one with Joe List on it. He's like, Joe List wasn't on this week. And I was like, oh, never mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Idiot. It's a hard drive. Anyway, so the State of the Union thing. Joni Ernst, which this was interesting. Mm-hmm. She gave the rebuttal. I gotta say, she didn't say anything stupid. She was fine. Although I do want to play maybe just like 1 second of it just to hear her tone, because it was like she was talking to children, which that annoys me, but it was fine generally. We called that.
Yeah, we
said when she did that whole thing, it's like they're gonna try to make her a face of the Republican Party, and the rebuttal to State of the Union is a pretty big deal.
Two things. I watched the one. I was upset that she didn't cackle. I was waiting time.
I
know. So someone must have said, hey, you can't do this anymore.
Dude, I thought we had the whole episode planned out. As soon as I was like, oh, perfect. State of the Union and Joni Ernst is giving the rebuttal. We're done. We got 40 minutes right there.
And the second thing was, she told the exact same story about the shoes. If I hear that story one more time.
Yeah. She did tell the bread shoe.
The exact same
Why
thing.
Would you do the bread shoe bit again? You can't do that.
That's her classic bit.
I know, but
That's her seven dirty words. You know, she's got to tell this.
So do you think the next time we see her or she gives a speech, she's going to again mention the shoes?
No, I don't think you can do it again after this.
No, you can't. Unless it's the type of thing where she comes out with like bread bags on her feet and she's like, ha, 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 look, da, da, da. You know, like it becomes a thing and everybody just wears bread bags on their head or whatever. But no, otherwise, probably not.
It's like the movie Idiocracy happening.
Let me just play. I just want to play the first like 3 seconds of her just so you could hear what she sounded like, because that's the only thing that annoyed me. But content wise, it was fine. So this is Joni Ernst giving the rebuttal. Oh, if it plays, come on. It's taking too long.
One thing that I...
Joey, be quiet.
Good evening. I'm Joni Ernst. As a mother, a soldier, and a newly elected senator from the great state of Iowa, I am proud to speak with you tonight. A few moments ago, we heard the president lay out his vision for the year to come.
Wait, I'm just
going to
skip ahead. It doesn't matter.
Too often, Washington responded with the same stale mindset that led to failed policies like Obamacare. Of a decision to make. Services committee room.
Never mind. You know what? Forget it. It was fine. Like, I'm just trying to find something to talk about with it. It's fine. But the big thing that happened in the State of the Union was Obama went off the cuff on the Republicans. And it was just great. It was a really funny moment. My favorite part, for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, well, why don't we play the clip and then we'll get into it. All right. So this is Obama with like delivering a brilliant one-liner that was very, very funny.
I have no more campaigns to run. My only agenda. I know, because I won both of them.
Fucking dropped the hammer so hard. My favorite part of this, guys, if you want to look it up, after he says it, he fucking turns his head quick to the left like, bitch, like, it's so perfect.
I know, because I won both of them.
Oh, it's so good. That's really, really funny. No matter what side of the aisle you're on, that's very funny. I like when the guy does that. Like, he is a funny guy. He should be off the cuff way more often.
I would agree.
You like that, Joey?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
The one thing, though, I thought that Joni Ernst did well, though, was she, the speechwriters obviously, too, didn't give a rebuttal, really. They say they kind of push it off to this is what their agenda is and didn't mention anything that Obama even talked about.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, and I feel like that's starting to become more of the norm where it's like you're not going to directly respond to what he said because it's silly then. It puts you sort of in the passenger seat. You know, like he's already given this fucking huge speech that everybody's watching.
Yeah.
Now you're just going to go in and like nitpick each argument that he made. It's... Yeah, I mean, I think it's a better idea probably to just lay out what you guys would rather do, because you look petty then, kind of when you're doing that, and that has burned them in the last few years. I think the woman that did it last year, I can't remember who she was. She kind of did something similar, but like in past years with Bobby Jindal and all those people, they did like terrible jobs.
And then Rubio with the water.
Oh, that was great. Did you remember that, Andy?
What's that?
When Marco Rubio did the rebuttal a couple of years ago, I guess he. I guess it was hot in the room.
Yeah.
And he just kept like having to drink water. Like he was in the middle of a sentence and he'd be like, like, oh, drink some water. Yeah, it's really amazing. Funny. It's a hard, that is a hard gig, actually, to go on after the president gives a great speech.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah, that's a good point, Joe. Yeah, I thought you did a good job. I can't say otherwise. All right, well, I do have something else that we're going to get into, but real quick, on the way here, I saw that Mitt Romney, while we're talking about politics, mm-hmm. he came out and says that he believes, he goes, I'm one of those Republicans that thinks that climate change is real and that we're causing it. He probably just lost the election for himself by saying that, I would think.
Yeah, probably shouldn't have done that.
That's not going to be a good soundbite.
Nope.
No, it's terrible, because if you're running against him, like if you're Jeb Bush or whatever, you don't say anything about climate change as long as possible, and you just be like, well, this guy fucking thinks science is real, so... It's going to be very hard for him to win the base by saying that climate change is real, because it just knocks out a fucking huge argument that the Republicans make.
Yeah.
And they can't run against, you know, whatever, because they have to defend fracking and all that shit with the argument that climate change is real. They can't defend that stuff as fervently, and they definitely can't defend oil. So that's an interesting thing, but we'll get into fucking...
Not only that, but he probably lost a lot of sponsorship too.
I don't know.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
Maybe
the oil companies or somebody who throws money at that.
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, I mean, they probably don't like that. I mean, that's a good point, I guess. I mean, money could end up going to other candidates because they know that they're not going to say shit like that. Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting, but whatever. We got plenty of time to fucking talk about the 2016 election. It should be a good one. So here's something I brought that is really frustrating. It's ridiculous. And I think we got into it last week a little bit with the marijuana stuff. A father in Australia was arrested for using cannabis medicine to save his daughter's life. Okay. A little background on this. This guy, Adam Kossler, or Kessler, and his daughter, Rumor Rose, she has stage 4 neuroblastoma, which is a childhood cancer. It's a very common childhood cancer. And it has a 50% chance of killing you. Okay, so this kid's really sick. She's had extensive aggressive chemotherapy, which makes her sick. She doesn't eat. She's losing weight. Mm-hmm. She's in pain all the time. So the dad was seeking out alternative medicine, which is logical.
Makes sense.
Kid's in a lot of pain, right? And meanwhile, she has an 11-centimeter tumor or something that's like pushing against her organs. Yeah, the poor little girl. She's adorable, and you can look her up. She's very cute. So this guy starts looking for alternative treatment. He, of course, lands on cannabis oil, which, according to Tommy Chong of Cheech and Chong fame, he says he used it when he had prostate cancer, and he now says he's 99% clear of cancer
in remission,
just
man.
By using the cannabis oil.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so this guy gets cannabis oil, starts giving it to his daughter, and he's really pleased with the results of it. I'm trying to look for the quotes that I have here. Hold on one second. Yeah. So he starts giving her the cannabis oil, and this is after she's sick with the chemotherapy and everything. He goes, her cancer-ridden little body was alive again. Rumor had almost instant quality of life. She would say, Daddy, tummy's not sore, and she would be able to eat like a champion and begin to gain weight. Her energy was up, and she wanted to go outside with me instead of laying on her back with her legs curled up. Her skin color came back. Her eyes were sparkling again, and we just looked at each other in complete amazement. Phenomenal. That's great.
Amazing. That feeling as a father must have been incredible.
Oh, of course, because there's no guarantee the kid's going to survive it, but it's like, if this is the last like bit of her life, like what do you want her to do? You want her to suffer?
I wouldn't have opened with that line, but everything else about it is great.
What? Oh, her
cancer-ridden little body was alive again?
Yeah, it's a little...
That's a very dark way to start this.
It's a little grotesque, sir. Yeah.
Anyway, no, but I think it's great.
Yeah, it's great. By the way, Molly, my girlfriend, alerted me to the story. She was like, this is absolutely ridiculous. I agree with her. Anyway, so this guy's giving the daughter cannabis oil. She's playing, she's eating, she's having a great time, and she's probably learning some stuff about space. They travel to Brisbane, Australia, because for more treatment or whatever, and he gets arrested upon arriving at the hospital. Okay, so that was on January 2nd. He had not seen her until a couple of days ago because the terms of his bail were that he couldn't be in the room unsupervised with his daughter, which is... That's probably great for the little girl's recovery, not to be around her dad,
who
she probably loves more than anybody in the world. So anyway, he ended up a couple days ago. He did spend some time with her because he showed up at the hospital. The cops also showed up and they were like, fuck it. Like, this guy has a right to be with his daughter. And they didn't arrest him, which is very cool. That's what the cops should be doing.
Yeah, he would have been murdered in America.
Yeah. If that was a black dude, they would have strangled him and then just pulled the plug on the daughter.
Yeah.
So What, Joey? It's just facts. Those are facts, my friend. But anyway, so that's, you know, I mean, that's pretty fucked up. There is a petition online, which I signed. I encourage you guys to sign it. Just search for Australia Dad Cannabis Oil, whatever. It'll come up. It's on change.org. Mm-hmm. But go sign it. They need like 45,000 more signatures or something like that to really like put pressure and maybe not have this guy go to jail. And on top of that, let's fucking just make weed legal. I mean, I just don't understand what's going on anymore.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
In my petition, this is what I wrote. Can I read you? I go, this man is clearly trying to do the right thing for his daughter. The cannabis helps her feel better. When he gives it to her, it's out of compassion and love. And on top of that, it actually works. Do the right thing. Let him care for his daughter. And while you're at it, legalize this harmless and beneficial plant. It's time. Enough. And then I signed it, Joey Noe.
Nice.
But they're not going to think it's real with that name.
No,
they're going to be like, oh, this is just some crazy person.
Just another fucking rhyming name that's not real. So anyway, yeah, I mean, you got, obviously I know how you feel about this, but like, ridiculous, right?
No, it's absolutely absurd. And like, we've taken great steps in the United States as far as legalization has gone. It's right. Basically, but here's the thing. Oh, I said it first. The thing is that even though it's basically legal, I did air quoting. It's still not fully legal, and the police can use it as like a leverage point to get you on other shit. You know what I mean?
Which
by that?
I feel like is
like that kind of gets their foot in the door, and then it's like they can kind of go do whatever they want after that. And that's the most dangerous part of marijuana. It's not the effects. I mean,
no, the effects are
largely
beneficial. They're 99% positive.
Yeah.
It's going to help you be a more compassionate person. It's going to help you deal with stress. It's going to help you look at your own life in a different perspective. And I there's nothing wrong with it. And physically,
it's helping her.
Yeah, it's extremely beneficial. If it can help a young girl, this poor kid, if it can help her feel better and potentially actually get rid of the cancer or shrink a tumor, what are we doing?
Right.
It is a plant that grows for our benefit. Come on, man. It just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, and I think in the whole like fear of like when legalization happens, everybody's just going to be like in the street like smoking huge joints and everybody's going to be fucking wasted for like the next 10 years. It's not the way it's going to be. If you don't smoke weed and it gets legalized, you're probably not going to start smoking. Like,
no, and maybe you try it, but it's not going to be the type of thing where you're just going to be like, well, I got to get a fat sack and go home and smoke.
And now like my life is over.
Yeah,
like,
it's just not going to happen.
It's not the way it works. It's when we're not legalizing heroin, we're legalizing weed. It's not this overly addictive, overly powerful thing that can fucking drag your life down. It like,
well, if weed can, anything can.
True.
You're the type of person that if that's gonna be the
right
thing
if that happens to you
yeah.
then you're but then that person's probably an alcoholic already or something.
Well, whatever, but I'm just saying, like, if that is the thing that's gonna fuck up your life completely, like any but cheeseburgers then,
exactly
could
chocolate could
have done
right
it
to
doesn't
you.
It's just yeah. You're just that type of person. The other thing, because you're saying, right, if they legalize it, not everybody's gonna go out in the street and smoke. True. In Colorado, in the states where they've legalized it, usage is actually diminished amongst younger people.
Right, and that's the thing. That's the same thing with like Amsterdam. Stop making it if you don't want it to be a big deal, then stop making it a big deal.
Right.
Over there, less people smoke. Nobody's like, it'll turn into the same thing as alcohol. It's like, yeah, I could drink, but it's not for me.
Right.
It
right.
Is
well,
what
that,
it is.
I was like, going to say, in European countries where the drinking age is a lot younger, you don't have 15-year-olds over like drinking themselves
drinking,
to death.
Yeah.
No. Because it's just not something that
it's
is taboo.
Like, it's like the same. It could be the same thing with cigarettes. You're just like, yeah, some people smoke them. I don't.
Right.
Whatever. Right. Let's move on, except they're actually beneficial and they're not going to kill people.
Absolutely. Right. And yeah, and then guess what? Yeah, if everybody starts smoking weed, great. We'll probably move the start of work back to 11. Everybody will be having a great time. Things will be a lot more peaceful. I feel like if everybody's getting high, it'd be great.
Yeah.
So and no detriment here.
Agreed.
Joey, we
got it. I just want to be able to buy all the nice weed things from the shop. Like, I want to be able to get like weed lozenges and like weed anything, you know, so I can like they got like buffalo wing sauce.
I know.
I could use that in my life.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
So crazy. And you know what? Worst case scenario, you eat too much of it, you fall asleep.
Exactly.
Yep. You're not going to die.
No.
You have to smoke 2 tons of marijuana in an hour to kill you.
And not
possible. And it's just from smoke inhalation anyway. It's not the actual weed that would kill you.
Right.
All right, so yeah, So hopefully go sign this petition. That'd be nice. This poor guy, you know.
Help the guy out.
Yeah, help him out. Help his daughter out and help us all out in the process because this shit should be legal and it's helpful. Oh, you know what? Here's something I was thinking about. As a little out there. Might have smoked weed before I thought about it. I don't know. What is it, do you think? Because like THC and the cannabinoids and all that stuff, why are they helpful? Because it doesn't seem like there should be any particular reason why, if you're sick, you rub this into your skin or you smoke it or whatever, that it would be beneficial. But somehow it ends up being beneficial.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm thinking about like the idea of like plants being more aware and more conscious than we actually give them credit for, that we understand. Like, is it possible that that actual plant, the cannabis, thinks, you know what I'm saying? Like, it goes into your body, goes, oh, this person's sick.
Oh, you were high when you were thinking.
Well,
about
but it's it's an interesting thought, because you can't just do that with anything. You know what I mean? Like, chocolate doesn't do it.
Right.
Like, what is it about that thing that it's able to change your perspective and really actually kind of help you in a lot of different ways? Do you think it's even possible that that's there's something to that?
If I had a, you know, say what it is, I'm just thinking it's just chemicals that happen to pertain just to that plant, and when it enters the human body, it does its reaction. I wouldn't think that the plants are alive or would have a consciousness or anything like that. I just think it's chemicals. It's science.
You're such a square. No, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's possible. I don't know. I mean, it was just a thought I was having, but it's like, it's weird that this one thing is great at doing so many positive things for people. Like, this one plant just has a billion great applications, including when it's just in hemp form. You can grow with it. You can make clothes. It's just like a magic thing. And why would we choose to make that thing illegal?
Right. It doesn't make sense.
When we're going to allow fucking Oxycontins and all this other bullshit, but it's like, oh, you got a prescription for it, so it's fine. Right, it's like, yeah, but that's heroin. It's going to kill you
right.
if you take too much of it. No, it's okay. This, it's too good. We got to keep this locked up. It's ridiculous. All right. Anyway, so that's that story. I just have one more, I think. Yeah, I just have one more little thing to get into. It's sort of a light week for me. The Raif Badawi guy in Saudi Arabia, the liberal blogger that we talked about, who was 10 years in jail, getting whipped 1,000 times, 50 a week. They've actually postponed his second set of 50 because he can't medically tolerate it. So I guess that's good, at least, that he got a little reprieve, but it's bad because they're trying to heal him so he can actually go get more punishment, which is just absurd.
Yeah, I mean, how would you like to take it if you were him? Would you just be like, I almost don't want the time to heal, I would rather they just kill me? Or would you try and like, or would you be like, okay, I'll just kind of take it and try and get through this, I'll serve my 10, and maybe with good behavior I'll get 7 and be out?
I think probably for the first part of it, I would be willing to take the lashes, let it heal, keep taking it, because the longer it drags out in the beginning, potentially something can be done. Maybe international pressure would help get him out, something
true,
like that.
Yeah,
that's sort of a campaign, so I would deal with it probably for a little bit. But I mean, fuck, after 500 of them, you're still in there. It's like, let's just go
for it.
Like,
let's
just finish it off.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, I don't know.
I feel like I would be at that point, too. I'd be like, God, just let the next one end it.
Right.
Like, I almost can't even fathom it.
No, and I
don't think it's possible.
No,
do they do it in public? Like, in front of
everybody? Yeah, they do it in front of a mosque.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
So it's 1,000, and he barely got through 50.
They do 50 at a time, right?
50 a week until they hit 1,000.
And 50 could probably almost kill you, I'm guessing. Yeah, no, what that must do to your organs and shit, it's got to jar them every time it hits you.
For sure.
Because, you know, they don't have some weak dude swinging that thing at you,
no.
I would imagine. No.
That guy probably auditioned
some badass,
right.
Yeah, who's, oh, God.
Yeah.
It's probably Indiana Jones and shit.
It could be.
What if it was Harrison Ford who was doing it?
Then I'd kind of be in favor of this.
Right.
Of
I'd be like, okay, this is kind of cool.
We should do this for everybody.
Steven Spielberg's there, just like directing.
Sorry, buddy. You got to take a couple more. We missed that take.
Yeah, we didn't get that one.
Yeah, no, it's fucked up. Right. Yeah, I mean, it probably breaks bones. I mean, sure, the guy's going to be an absolute disaster when this whole thing is over if he survives it. But
right.
You
know. Probably an absolute disaster after 50.
Yeah. No, not about it. Right. Yeah. Could you imagine? What are you going to do? You're going to lay on your back? No. You got to fucking lay around like a goon. And I'm sure the jail cell in Saudi Arabia isn't comfortable.
No, he's probably got a concrete I don't even know if he has a concrete bed. I'm picturing just like a bare room, like Midnight Express style.
Right. Yeah, of course. Who the fuck
Midnight knows? Express. That guy got his feet beat.
Yeah, he did. Sure thing.
Like bad.
John Voight?
No.
So you think what? Like 2 or 3 weeks?
Oh, that's Midnight Cowboy. Again? Never mind.
When were you thinking of meat got beat in Midnight Cowboy, not feet?
Right. Good one.
Yeah.
What, Joey?
Great
so,
movie.
So you
Joey
think,
just kind of like laughed that off. He's like, I have a point to make.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you think? Like 2 to 3 weeks to the next whipping then?
I don't know. What am I, a fucking doctor?
No, I thought maybe they might have mentioned how long they're going to give him the rest.
No, I don't know. He's got to get medical clearance. So it's like whenever he's...
he's like getting, yeah, cleared, getting cleared to play.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a football player.
Yeah.
They're going to claim to get 50 more whips.
Like, all right, you can go out there and, you're take clear your punishment. To go get your ass beat again.
Yeah, he's like, 2 to 3 weeks, I'm about 80%, but I mean, I can still catch. I don't know. So we'll see what happens, but that's something to keep your eye on. There's also petitions about that. I signed one of those. I feel bad, because we read the guy's quotes last week. He's making a lot of sense. I like what the guy's got to say, and he shouldn't be getting punished, certainly, for saying that shit.
Or he should just be in jail. He shouldn't be
fine. If you got to punish him, right, at least, yeah, just put him in jail. Fine. I'm sure he'd rather that.
What would you rather have? You take the whipping or go to jail and risk the sodomy?
How many whipping?
A thousand?
The same punishment. I mean, guess I would just take the sodomy.
No, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I would take the risk of the sodomy.
Oh, I'd risk the sodomy probably for go sure. To jail.
That was weird how you said that.
I guess I'll just
take this out of me.
I will allow a man to fuck me in the butt. I guess I would probably just risk the jail. Because again, like at least you might
you could defend
have a chance
yourself.
Of getting out. You defend yourself, right? Yeah, it's a better situation. Yeah, no, the whipping is indefensible. You can't do anything with that.
No. I'd be like, can we at least start it like an Indiana Jones movie where I have like a knife and like I'm coming at you and like you have to take it away from me and like, you know what I mean? Like give me a chance.
No, they're not going to give him a shot.
Give me a pipe or something.
No, they're going to tie you down and whip you.
They're like, you had your chance.
Oh, that's what they would say.
That's right.
And Spielberg would be like, yes, we got that line.
Print it. So anyway, so that's that situation. I'm out of topics, guys. That's basically what I got this week. Hopefully next week I'll have something more serious to rant about. I mean, that's very serious.
That is very serious.
Something more in-depth to rant about. It was just a little bit of an update and a wrap-up of a bunch of stuff. I know that Andy and Joey both have brought topics. And again, big finish from Joey. Andy, let me ask you how you feel about this. Should we let Joey get into his McDonald's thing now, or should we save Joey's piece all for the end?
I got a piece just on one of our sponsors, so maybe we'll do that real quick.
Oh, great. Okay, let's get into that.
Okay, so remember the AirAsia flight that crashed?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do.
Somehow...
AirAsia, we're pretty good.
Yeah. 75% of the time, things go well. No,
Three and four flights, make it.
And that's pretty good. So they found the plane, which is good.
I didn't even know they found the plane.
Oh, yeah. That at least made me feel good that it wasn't... Because if another plane disappeared, I was going to start getting nervous.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right. Like, what the hell's going on?
Right. And granted, none of them were American flights. That's fine. But the AirAsia flight, they're saying... And another thing they didn't mention... was that the plane took off in terrible weather. Like, they're pretty sure it was just a weather-related crash.
Oh, okay.
The pilot, like, they said the plane, AirAsia flight, QZ8501, climbed rapidly and then stalled shortly before it crashed. And that's from a top Indonesian official. He said the plane ascended suddenly with a speed that was above normal speed limit, and then it went up.
Oh, so this guy's trying to get above the clouds. He's probably just trying to get above the storm. Mm-hmm.
I didn't
make it.
Yeah, I think that's what happened. And they said, and then afterward, the plane stalled, which I don't know.
He went too high.
I don't know what that means. Maybe the altitude fucked with it.
Or, I mean, it might literally just be like a car. Like, he was trying to go too fast. He fucking slipped out of gear and the fucking plane just turned off. I don't know.
Right. And that, which has to be terrifying. But,
oh, my God, yeah.
At one point, the plane was climbing at a speed of 6,000 feet per minute. And they say here that a fighter jet like the F-18 Super Hornet can climb as fast as 30,000 feet per minute. So imagine that.
Right.
So but
flying.
Right. But so 6,000 feet per minute, he was supposed to be going like 3,000.
Yeah. So he punched
it. So he just punched it, I'm guessing, like we said, to try they said, I think that means there was a tremendous amount of winds and weather. And basically what you guys are saying, that's what they think, that he tried to just get out of it and he fucked up.
That's so dumb. God, you know what? If you're ever, guys, listen, if you're ever on a plane, like, and it's about to take off and they're like, oh, there's shitty weather, we're going to try it, get off the plane.
No, I always say that. When they're like, when they say we're going to try and take off, have you ever heard a pilot say that?
I haven't flown too much, but I know that that's a
thing. Okay, yeah, I've flown a fair amount. Right. I've heard a pilot say that before. And that is, the word try should never be associated with flying.
Right, he might as well just be like, well, listen, we're going to give it a shot. Like, what?
We're going to give it a shot.
No. Listen, I don't like my wife. We're in financial trouble. I'm willing to go. If you guys want to come, you can.
Listen,
that
guys,
should be the honesty.
This might be the booze talking, but we're going to give it a fly.
Yeah.
What? What are you? Jesus Christ.
Open that door.
I'm out of here.
Give me back to that lobby bar.
That's lunch. Yeah, Joey, any thoughts about this? You're pissed it's not aliens.
Yeah. No, actually, I do like conspiracies. Uh-huh. I really don't trust the whole alien aspect, though.
Wait, aliens of what? They took the Malaysia flight?
That they took the other flights.
Yeah, they did, though, I think.
Because the planes have totally disappeared.
I mean, I think it's pretty clear. That it is fucking, again.
I don't know what it is. Yeah. And that almost makes me more uncomfortable. That I really, I can't even think of how a plane could just disappear unless the government searching for it may have been in cahoots and they were just like, yeah, we can't find you guys.
Right,
I winked.
Right, Andy winked. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, like there was some kind of shady agreement. And I don't know why.
Yeah, but right, why would you want to even do
that? Why would you want to be like, and where could this plane have gone, without an agreement with another government or wherever they put the plane?
Yeah, there was a million people looking for that fucking Malaysian one.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I thought you were going to say, when you said like in cahoots with the government, like maybe the government of Malaysia, before they got everybody else involved, was like, fuck, we lost another one. And they just kind of like,
we have to find this one.
But how the hell could they even do that? It's so weird.
Right. Well, like, whatever. It doesn't make any sense. But this plane, there's actually, like, they found, like, huge pieces. Like, the plane was actually, a lot of it was intact. Like, it was fucked up, but it wasn't, like, scattered all over the place. But, yeah, and they even recovered some bodies, too.
Yeah,
not all of them,
the
but they got some bodies. Yeah. That's normally what happens in plane crashes, because everybody's buckled in.
Yeah.
Right. I would probably unbuckle and just hope I could, like, jump out. Or something. I don't
know. Not going to help you.
No. Well, that's like when an elevator falls. You're supposed to jump when you hit the button.
Yeah, okay.
Right before, you just got to time it. Right before it hits the water.
Just be like waiting by the door. Like the second you're like 10 feet above the water. I want that. There's a Mythbusters thing for you. If you're, I don't know how you could test this without crashing a plane.
Right.
But if you were, would you have, do you think you would be moving with,
yeah, you'd
the
be moving
speed
this,
of the plane.
Yes, yes. You're moving at the speed
of the
plane.
Because if you're in a car and you're going 60 miles an hour, you yourself are also going 60 miles an
right.
hour.
Right. So so you'd still hit the water at like 600 miles an hour.
Yes.
Yeah. You'd be going pretty
where
fast,
you would eventually just explode when you hit the surface,
right.
I would imagine.
Right.
Because that's like hitting concrete at that speed.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because you can't jump high enough. Like if you were like what we're saying, if as the plane hits the water, you jump.
You're like 10 feet above it and you're just like, I'm going to give it a shot.
Right.
Pencil dive.
Yeah, no, you'd have to jump so high up into the air to avoid that catastrophe.
Right.
But well, anyway, give it a shot, guys. Listen, if any of you are ever in a plane crash, give it a shot. Let us know how it went.
Yeah.
All right. So
there's one guy.
Like a we're going to get an email next week. Be like, interestingly. All right. So, yeah. So that's that's a little wrap up on the AirAsia thing. Thanks to AirAsia for all their support. We're glad you found that plane. Let's keep them up in the air next time.
Yeah, we are glad you found the plane. And again, if you could just try and not crash them, crash them right when we renew our sponsorship with you.
Sure.
It wasn't a good look for us.
No. Yeah.
I know it wasn't a good look for them, but it didn't help us either.
No.
So, you know, get it together. But we appreciate the money.
No doubt. So did you? I think you guys both brought this Deflate Gate or whatever.
They just had the press conference. Tom Brady just did his. It just finished,
and he was like, "No, we didn't fucking cheat at all."
No, everybody is saying, "Oh, I had no idea." They interviewed Belichick earlier.
Give a little background on it for people if they don't know for some reason.
Okay, Deflate Gate, which again I've told you a million times how much I hate adding the word "gate" to things just because Watergate happened in the 80s. I'm sick of it.
Would you be willing to call it Anger Gate?
No, I would not. I would not. I would just call it Ang.
Okay.
But anyway, so basically, the Patriots played the Colts last weekend in the NFC Championship game, and they won. They won by a huge lead.
Like, it wasn't even a game.
It wasn't even a game. It was a blowout. It looked like NFL versus college, basically, because the Colts only had Andrew Luck and nothing else.
Right.
So they found at halftime that, and I got some interesting facts on this today. They found at halftime that the balls, the Patriots team balls were less inflated than regulation. They were deflated. I don't know by how much, like a couple PSI, but they, which made them a lot softer. Yeah, I think it was like 2 PSI under. And the thing that Chris didn't know, and a lot of people don't know, is each team has their own game balls for the offense. So the Colts have their own balls, and the Patriots have their own balls, which that doesn't make sense anyway.
Yeah, I was
going
to say, right. Like, I didn't know it because we were talking about it before, and I was like, but if the balls are deflated in the rain, like, both teams are using the same balls, so what the fuck difference does it make? And he's like, no, not the case.
No, not the case.
Why would they fucking allow that? That's insane.
But here is another story that came out this morning. Apparently, the Ravens are the ones, like, players on the Ravens are the ones that told the Colts to watch out for it, because the Patriots had played the Ravens the week
and
before.
Done this before.
Interesting.
And yeah, and then on top of that, it came out today that the NFL had known about this and were gonna check the balls at halftime anyway, even if the Colts didn't say anything.
Oh,
which. Why would you let him play the first half?
Thank you.
Why wouldn't you check the balls right before the game?
Right.
Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, because the disputed quarter is the third quarter anyway. So, like,
sure.
If the refs did check him at halftime, so they fucked up then too.
Right. And then on top of it all, Brady basically went on today and was like, yeah, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know.
Well,
and
yeah,
Belichick said he had no idea. He was like, and he basically said, ask Tom. Tom came on, yeah, basically threw him under the bus, but anyway, but then Tom came on and was like, yeah, I don't know how it happened, but he's on record from 2011 or 2012 saying Rob Gronkowski spikes the ball after he scores a touchdown.
He spikes it hard, a lot of air gets out.
Spikes it very hard.
Right.
And he's saying, and Tom Brady's on record saying, I like that Gronkowski does the Gronk spike because it deflates some of the air out of the ball, and I prefer to play with that. And it,
oh well. I mean, look. Here's the thing: they probably did it. I don't care. I think it's fun.
I actually
like the Patriots.
I actually don't have a problem with this one.
Right.
I do. No, it's just that they're making a big deal out of something so stupid. Like, it was a landslide victory, and then people are calling in. They're like, "Oh, you should take away the victory."
No.
And it's like, "What are you talking
about?
What
are you going to bring the Colts back now? They haven't been practicing for a week."
Like, right. Well, yeah. What, you're going to replay the game with inflated ball? Like, no. and then, but that's such a slippery slope. Like in baseball, like we're going to start taking titles away, World Series away from teams who had people doing steroids on them. Like, no, you can't do that.
No,
you
it's annoying.
You can't unwrite what happened.
Well, football is a fun. I mean, like, I'm obviously, we talk about it all the time. I'm a huge hockey fan, huge mixed martial arts fan. Like, football, when you watch it, just the amount of replays, the fucking Dez Bryant catch they take back.
That's a catch.
Things that happened, didn't happen. It's like, can't you just fucking play the game? It's so irritating.
You say that?
Nothing that happens actually happens in football. It's so
I love football. I love it.
I want to.
It is my favorite sport, and it probably always will be. And I'm saying that, and I played hockey from 4 to 18. Probably 3 or 4 to 18.
Right.
So like 14, 15 years, but football is my favorite sport.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they're just
never played football once.
I never played football either. Yeah.
I play, hockey and then soccer and baseball.
Yeah. Oh. I played baseball and hockey. Watch out.
Can I say it?
I know what he's going to bring up.
Tell me.
I'm not going to say what it is, but you're going to talk about a player that you used to play with.
I played football with Brian Cushion.
Really?
I've been waiting forever to say that.
Hey.
Yes. High five.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to high five. Oh, my God.
High five. Joey, you do very gay things sometimes.
Oh, my God. He looked at Andy, high-fived him, and then immediately looked at me like, do I get one from you, boss? Like, no, you don't.
Do I get one from you, boss?
I've heard this a billion times. I'm out.
Well, that's awesome. And so, basically, we wrap it up with, do you care?
No.
No, I don't.
Give us your opinion. I know.
You're asking the Samsonites. Yeah.
Yeah, the Samsonites, do they care? But I was also asking you. That was an open-ended, anybody who wants to answer can.
Or a good one. How would you punish the Patriots for this?
Well, they're talking about, they a lot of people speculated that if Brady came out and admitted that he did it, mm-hmm. which of course he's not going to do that happen, with the right. Super Bowl happening. If this was after the Super Bowl, maybe. But with the Super Bowl coming and Brady looking for that fifth ring,
right?
He needs it so bad.
He's not going to admit anything.
No, and I don't think they will.
Yeah. They were going to say maybe they'll suspend him if he admits it. Or they would have to suspend him if he admits it.
Well, what did he personally go deflate the balls? Worst case scenario.
I think they were looking for him to say that I told the staff to deflate the balls.
Good luck with that one.
Exactly.
But I was going to say, some fucking staffer is going to be like, I'll take the bullet for this team.
Of course.
Oh, he's just gonna be like, yeah, I did it. I didn't mean, I shouldn't have done it.
And there's been a lot of rumors about actually an ex-Ravens quarterback came out and said like he had been on teams where like they would pay the staffers like $7,500 to like deflate the balls before the game,
right.
And because it's nothing to them. And
well, people are gonna freak out about the fucking balls. Guess how much steroids and shit these guys are taking?
Oh god,
like that. Come on, just be stop being crazy. It's entertainment for you. They're getting paid millions of dollars. Just enjoy it. It's
well, fun. Yeah, and the thing is they're looking to like Ray Rice, Tom Brady, and that's not gonna
happen. Never gonna happen. And
it's easy to hate the Patriots. It's easy to hate Tom Brady.
I used to hate him, but I love him now.
He's a great looking dude. He's an amazing, in the conversation for the greatest NFL quarterback of all time, about to have 5 Super Bowl championships, and he's married to Giselle.
Right.
And they live in like a $200 million house or something.
Sure. He's winning.
I mean, I used to hate him, but the older I've gotten, I'm just like, this guy's a fucking winner.
He's just the man.
He's the man. He does what he's got to do. Yeah. He's no bullshit.
No.
He just wins. And I don't care. In every sport, really, and especially in baseball, like you said, people are always looking for a fucking competitive advantage, some way of like gaining a victory.
It's the nature of the beast.
I don't care. It's fun. I'm watching it to be entertained by it. I don't have any personal stake in it. Deflate the balls if you want.
Well,
I don't care.
And you said to win, I feel personally that a lot of the like using steroids or a lot of the cheating is more on a monetary basis.
Yes, definitely.
I think it's more about the money.
Right. This is to win.
Yeah, you could pay me, $18 million a year to sit on a bench and lose.
Right.
And I will do that happily for as long as I can.
Sure. Joey Gunn, I thought you were going to say something about this.
Yeah, I just think Tom's going to lose. I think.
Oh, you're making
Think. Oh, yeah, we should talk about the Super Bowl. What do you guys think?
Is this the last episode before it'll be on? Oh, okay.
No, because you have the Pro Bowl this weekend. We have
February 1st.
Right. So we have one more episode. Yeah. Yes. So let's save it for next week. But
okay.
The Pro Bowl. Give me your predictions.
Don't give a shit.
The Pro Bowl. Won't be watching it. Yeah.
Do not play the game.
And not to mention, it pissed me off the fact that they moved it up. Because they used to have it after the Super Bowl because no one watched it.
I don't want to talk about the Pro Bowl.
So they moved it.
Nobody's going to watch it anyway.
I know. You know what? People will watch it. It gets as many views. It almost gets more views than like a Game 5 World Series game.
Does it really?
Why? Why would it?
Because a lot of people think it's because people bet on it, so that gets a lot of watches. And
what an addicted gambling psycho you have to be,
dude. People place bets on like high school games.
No, I know.
Like Artie Lang has a great bit about it, but anyway, so they think it's about betting and the fact that a lot of people will just watch football because it's on. I've watched a lot of, like, when football's starting to come around, I'll watch preseason games. I'll do all that just because I love NFL football.
Yeah, see, I'm not that. But hockey, I'll do it. I get it. I get the impulse. Mm. But, like, the fucking Pro Bowl, Jesus, who cares?
Oh, one thing about hockey. Can I ask you a question since you're a big NHL fan?
Yeah, I'd love it. Go ahead.
Okay. The Winter Classic games. They did 3 this year.
They did the Blackhawks and the Capitals. They're doing an outdoor game between the Ducks and the Kings, or between the Sharks and the Kings.
Yeah.
And then they do a Heritage Classic somewhere in Canada. I actually don't even know what that one is, but
do you like the fact that they're adding more games, or do you think they should do one on New Year's Day and keep it special?
I think they should probably do one. I don't think they have to do it on New Year's Day. I think they'd be smart if they picked another day and they're just like, this is fucking hockey day. And like, this is when we do the outdoor game.
Really?
At night. Yeah, why not? It doesn't have to be on New Year's, because I think people are not really paying attention on fucking New Year's.
Oh, like, see, I think a big part of it is that it's New Year's Day.
Well, okay.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
I think it's, you know, you're hungover. New Year's Day is spent in sweatpants by a lot of people on a couch.
Yeah, let's put the game on.
And yeah, let's put a great outdoor hockey game on. The one at the stadium in Michigan was amazing.
Yeah, that was great.
The Winter Classic is one of my favorite sporting events. It always has been. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I obviously love it. I went to when the Rangers played the Devils and the Islanders outside. That was part of the stadium series or whatever. I went to both those games. It was fucking great. But the only issue I have with it is that because it's ice, because it's white, during the day, it reflects a lot of light.
The glare is tough.
And they got to change the time all the time, whatever. I think people that are just casual fit, they just lose interest with it. That's hockey always.
You can play it at night under lights.
They always find a way to fuck up something good. They always find a way to blow it. And it was great at night because the Rangers played the Islanders at night at the stadium, which I went to
see. Under the lights, yeah, very,
very
cool.
Very, very fucking cool. And anyway, but yeah, I mean, they should probably just keep it to one or two. But,
yeah. You know. And, yeah, they do the Frozen Four at Fenway. Did I tell you about that?
I mean, I know about it, but I don't know.
They do it. Maine. I'm a proud Black Bear alumni, and Maine is playing this year against New Hampshire.
That's cool.
At Fenway, and I'm going
to
go.
That's nice. Awesome. Yeah. I want to go to Fenway for a baseball game.
I saw a fish play at Fenway once. It was amazing.
Not really into fish. Gotta be
honest. I know you're not into them, but
it's
you
cool,
know,
cool for
like
you,
drinking beer is like smoking weed in the bleachers at Red Sox Stadium is pretty cool.
Right, that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
suck it. And they played the entire they played the entire show in Red Sox jerseys, all of them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's very nice.
Yeah.
CeeLo was at the Winter Classic game that I went to, and he wore a Rangers jersey and got booed by the Islanders fans.
CeeLo Green?
Yeah.
Or Chris Lopresti?
No, CeeLo Green.
Yeah.
All right, so that was a great sports break. I'm sure people didn't enjoy that. Nobody likes sports on this podcast, I don't think.
No,
I mean, we do, but I'm saying I got some feedback when we did the UFC. People were like, no.
It wasn't football, though.
It doesn't matter. I don't care.
How cool is Conor McGregor?
So cool. Yeah, fuck it. We might as well get into it. Yeah,
let's get into it.
I love Conor McGregor. He's so fucking entertaining.
Yeah, he is the coolest dude ever.
Yeah, we're talking about in the UFC, he's a featherweight fighter.
Fucking animal.
Conor McGregor, he's from Ireland. He just beat...
I don't even remember the guy's name.
Why can't I think of... Is that not unbelievable? Oh, Dennis Siver. Jesus.
Yeah, okay.
And that was Saturday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's great. He's great on the mic. He's an incredible athlete. He's just got like a really unique style. And now he's going to be facing...
Jose Aldo.
Jose Aldo, who's considered like the second best fighter in the world, basically.
Which, I don't see it.
Oh, I do. I think he's...
You do? See, a lot of people I talk to are like Godfrey, like, won't get off the fact that he double-kneed, knocked out that one dude.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Like, that was amazing. But, I don't know. I think McGregor's going
to
beat him.
I don't, but we'll see as it gets closer to the fight. I don't have enough information, I guess, about McGregor yet. We haven't really seen him tested by a guy at that level. But McGregor looks terrific, but we'll see what happens.
I just think of him in kind of the John Jones aspect, and I'll just give you two reasons why. He hasn't been in the sport for a long time. He's only been practicing mixed martial arts for 4 years. He's now in the biggest MMA company in the world and tearing through it.
The number four ranked fighter in his division. Yeah.
Wow, yes. Number four.
He is tearing through it. And those two things are what were surprising about John Jones. He was very, very young. He was only doing mixed martial arts for 3 years, I think, when he came in. And he just started ripping through the ranks and not just winning fights, but absolutely dismantling veteran fighters.
Right.
And making them look foolish, basically, is what he was doing. And McGregor has this whole thing, which I very much like about him, where he says, and it's a great quote, where he says, I don't just knock them out, I pick the round.
Yeah.
And that is the coolest, that is the most badass thing you could ever say.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, he's legitimately...
And he's come through on many of those,
absolutely,
I pick the rounds.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably the most exciting character quote in
Yeah, I love him, though. Yeah. Like, he's wearing suits at the press conferences, drinking whiskey, and, like, just, like, with his sunglasses on. And, like, the guy was on his way to be a plumber, like, 4 years ago, and then decided, like, I want to try mixed martial arts, and then realized he was just the ultimate animal that he is.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I can't deny it. Look, I mean, he looks better every time I see him fight.
Yeah.
He has not looked bad at all. I mean, he just looks incredible. I don't know if he's at Aldo's level, but we're going to find out. And I cannot wait for it. It's going to be just an incredible fight. But that's coming up probably around Memorial Day, I think. They were saying,
so. Yeah, they said they were shooting for May, right? May in Vegas is what I heard.
Oh, okay. Then that's probably what it is, yeah. All right, so a little bit of wrap-up on that. Very cool. Yeah, the Conor McGregor's great.
I'll post a picture of him so you can see how cool he is.
There you go. Hey, Joey.
Yes.
So this is your big moment now. I think we're going to throw the show over to you. We're about an hour in. We waited a little long to get to you, but I think it's fine. I think people are here, and they're excited to hear what you have to say. What would you like to do? Would you like to play this McDonald's clip, and then you'll give your little whatever rant you have about it?
Yes.
All right, so this is a McDonald's commercial that Joey took particular umbrage with. And there's a song in the background. I'll read kind of like what the things are that are taking place.
Chris is going to read the signs.
Thank you. Yes. That was, I guess, a play on words or a pun or something. The commercial is called McDonald's Signs. So anyway, so here we go.
McDonald's signs, like dollar signs?
So it's a McDonald's sign, like, you know, under it where it'll say like, oh, 99 cent cheeseburger, whatever. It's like those things, but with like nice messages on them. I also want to say this shit looks edited to me. It looks photoshopped.
It looks photoshopped, and just from this, it looks terrible.
Yeah,
like, just this opening still shot looks awful. It looks like a picture off somebody's camera. This is an actual McDonald's commercial?
Yes.
Well, what they're saying, but I think what the idea is that it's like, oh, you'll
homemade,
see.
Homemade?
Exactly,
like, yeah,
right.
Okay.
So you'll see. All right, here we go. It says, thank you, veterans. The sound of silence and cars. Pray for Drew. Hashtag pray for Drew. God protect the USA. And I found you with a keep jobs in Toledo. And all of us weep for the Columbia families. We remember 9/11. Well, how could you forget it? It was a big deal.
Breast cancer.
Pray for the rescue of the miners. See, that looks fake. God gave us a miracle. I don't know what that's in reference to.
I think it was Boston Hudson.
What?
The miracle on Hudson
when they landed the plane?
Yeah, that's the only one I can think of.
It could have been a babe. It could have been a generic miracle.
True.
Boston Strong.
Or it could have been a Jesus.
We'll be back soon. It's the flooded, I'm assuming, New Orleans McDonald's. We believe in you, Crystal. Open, and the sign's all fucked up, but they're still there.
That was Ferguson.
Yeah. It's a girl, Rosalie Kay. Hug those dads.
Father's Day.
Welcome home, 442nd Airborne. Happy 95th birthday, Woody. We love you. What?
That last McDonald's was the one in Orono, Maine, where I went to college.
No shit.
Swear to God.
We're going to go back and look at it. Hold on.
This one. Yes.
Is it really?
Yes.
Wow, that's a nice McDonald's.
They remodeled it when I was a senior. It was shitty before that. They remodeled it, and that is 100%. That McDonald's.
That's bizarre.
Even the painting on the curb, I can see it. That's it.
Wow, that is so weird.
Yeah. Right on. Way to go, Orono, Maine. You're a horrible town otherwise, except for the college and the McDonald's.
The beautiful fucking McDonald's. Happy 95th birthday, Woody.
Hey, Maine guys, they're always old.
A little loving can change a lot, it says.
Odd.
And now the stupid McDonald's, like, ba 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 ba, I'm loving it, comes out.
So that's an actual commercial they aired.
That was on during the football game I saw for the first time.
It says, see the stories behind the signs, mcdonalds.tumblr.com. Don't go there.
Oh, they have a Tumblr. That's awful.
All right. Now, here's my grape with this.
Your grape?
Yes.
Sour grape?
Nah.
Ding.
How desperate do you have to be as a company to sell a product that you have to say, God protect the USA, all of us keep the Colombian families in mind, and again, invoking 9/11.
Do you want me to answer?
Yes.
Okay.
Please, because it just bothers the hell out of me.
But what bothers you?
But no. How desperate do you have to be? McDonald's, I think, just logically, is probably one of the most undesperate companies to move their product in the world. Yes?
Yes.
I don't think McDonald's sales have ever weathered.
No,
they've been going down.
They've started to dip recently.
They have been going down. Okay, I'm saying that with no knowledge as a person who eats McDonald's probably four times a week.
Oh, so you're saying, right, as a normal person just watching it, you go,
No, I'm just saying, like, every time you pass a McDonald's, it's always not booming,
but
it's always moving.
Right, but technically, yes, they are suffering some decrease in sales. Gotcha.
I just.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to write a bit of a think piece on
this. Yeah, no,
you know?
I thought you had a thing. Do you want to just go for it and tell us how you feel?
Well, yeah, I'm asking you a question. What about it upsets you?
So, all right, so
stop looking through your notes. And
no, I
talk from your heart.
Yeah, give us an answer.
He's still looking at the. I go, don't look at the notes, and he puts his arms up and then looks right back at the notes. Joey, listen, because no matter what you say here, you're gonna save it with your 50 Shades of Grey reading in a few minutes, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
So just come on.
It's just the hamburgers should be able to sell themselves. Everybody knows McDonald's. Everybody knows who they are. They've been around for how many years? It's a franchise. It's every block that you go to.
Right.
Yep.
Why do you need to remind people that horrible shit has happened, but you're still there? So now go feed your face.
Right. Well, I mean, that is the point. They're trying to say, like, look, no matter what goes on in the world, we're still going to be serving you these delicious burgers, hot and fresh.
But isn't there a better way to do it than through using signs?
Yes. There is a better way.
I mean, what is your better way?
I don't have one at the moment. Right. I just know the moment I saw the commercial, I personally don't eat McDonald's, but now I'm going to go out of my way to make sure people I know don't eat McDonald's because of that.
Yeah, I mean, commercial. I wonder if there's other people out there that feel that way. I don't know. I mean, you were like really bothered by this. I wasn't bothered. I hate commercials generally, and I don't eat at McDonald's anymore, so it doesn't really bother me. But
you two guys.
Honestly, it's not because I'm like better than McDonald's. I had Chicken McNuggets once, and they tasted like ham. That's what they tasted like to me. They tasted like boiled ham. And I was like, I can't fucking.
Boiled ham, to me, is like the most repulsive.
Right.
Cafe Live, where we like to go get our turkey clubs, has a boiled ham sandwich. And I was just like,
why would you do that?
Yeah. What could that even be?
No.
Like,
no, I'm not into it.
No.
Bake it.
Do something with it. Right. Don't boil ham.
Oh.
And also.
Ham and hot water. Arrested Development.
Hot ham water.
God. And with a smack of
and
ham.
The trend is 1.7% that McDonald's is going down, which I don't think is that much, but whatever.
Well, hopefully they go down a little more with your little protest here. I think you damaged them.
No, it just bothers me when you involve 9/11 to sell something.
Sure. No, that's horrible.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is the annoying thing. Well, I mean, Jesus, Rudy Giuliani, everything he says is 9/11. It's like a lot of people use it, of course.
And also...
Oh, well, yeah, everybody uses it.
And also, God protect USA. What about the entire other fucking world? What about everybody else? No, God's just important about the USA, so now go eat this hamburger because we sell it here.
All right. Look, that's a fair point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, Joe, I hear what you're saying. It's fucking, yeah, it's ridiculous. And because they're trying to revamp their image because people don't like, they don't like what they're doing with their food and all this bullshit, and they won't pay their workers and et cetera, et cetera. So,
chickens with no beaks. It's no good.
No, it's really fucked.
No.
All right. So anyway, so listen, this podcast now no longer supports McDonald's.
No. Okay. Let me just say something.
You can still eat it. It's okay.
Okay.
I won't even know.
I'm looking for a sponsorship. Anyway. Okay.
Oh, yeah, Joe, you'll be out if we get a McDonald's.
The only reason I eat at McDonald's is because I now work here during the day,
right,
and I work here at night. I don't get home until normally 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and it is the only thing open in my town.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay?
Right.
All right.
Yeah, no. I told, of course. It's... Yeah, no, I mean,
food when I get home. I can't just go home and, like, make a sandwich in my kitchen. Like, you understand. You have to have something hot and substantial after you've been running yourself ragged all day and after you come to work every day and people tell you that you look worse every day that you get here.
Well, look, let's be honest. It tastes good. So it does. Let's not pretend it doesn't taste good. It does, for the most part. Unless you get some chicken nuggets, it tastes like ham, and then you decide not to eat it.
Right, boiled ham. But don't do that anyway. And Aaron, stop telling me I look bad when I come to work. I know.
All right. So, Joe, did you have any other topics here? What do you mean? I thought you had a couple other ones. Didn't you say some geek of the week or something?
Oh, well, the other topic that I actually do have that we were talking about petitions... There's this new TV show that's been getting a lot of heat.
Uh-huh.
Let me just find it. Okay. The name of the show is going to be on TLC. It's known as My Husband's Not Gay.
What's that about?
Okay. A group of Mormon men.
Uh-huh.
They say that they're attracted to men, but they got married.
To women.
To women. So Josh Sandels is challenging, who happens to be a devout Christian, who was subjected, apparently, they put him through ex-gay therapy.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Pray the gay away.
Which, yes. That works. Look, we can pretend it doesn't.
And so TLC is going to follow around these men that are apparently attracted to other men, and I guess.
But they're still married.
But still married and going to talk about their feelings, I guess, and how they're doing socially and all
that. And who wants to get rid of the show? I think this would probably be great.
People who are conservative. The petition already has over 75,000 signatures.
How many?
75,000.
So these conservatives, they don't want this to be on TV. Why? Because it makes them look stupid?
I guess.
Like, what do they care?
Okay. I have a couple questions.
Yes.
Okay, so these men admit to being gay, but they married women?
No, they admit to being attracted to men.
To other men.
Yeah. Right?
They're not gay, they're just attracted to men.
Right. They're probably just like, look, who doesn't get an erection when they look at Bradley Cooper? It's just natural.
I was going to say Brock.
Bradley Cooper and American Sniper.
No.
Let's talk about
that. Don't even mention American Sniper now.
Why?
Because we don't have time to get into
it. Oh, yeah, that's true. Okay.
Well, I do want to get into American Sniper.
Bradley Cooper's awesome and Chris Kyle is one of my heroes. So.
Are you being serious right now?
Dead serious. I love Chris Kyle. He's a fucking badass. Oh, are you kidding me?
Okay, we're going to have... All right, so next
the most
week,
lethal sniper in U.S. history? Are you joking? You don't think that's cool?
No. We're going to have to get into it next week.
You're a crazy person.
We're going to get... Okay, this is great.
We're gonna get all right.
This is a next week thing. So next week, me and Andy are going to yell at each other about American Sniper. It'll be great. Which I haven't seen, by the way.
It's funny because the other person yelling about how unethical and fucked up American Sniper was had never seen it either. Every conversation I have where people are like, that's such a fucked up movie. Really? Did you see it? No. I'm just going off what other people tell me in Tumblr and blogs and Twitter.
I definitely don't. I mean, I don't
just
think
for next week. For next week. But we're stealing Joey's thunder.
Because I don't think it's fucked up.
No, I don't want to.
Okay, so we're all right. We will get into American Sniper next week. That's fine. Oh, let's save it for next week.
How did that feel?
What? Oh, that you were like moving the show along?
Yeah.
No, I think it's good.
Yeah, you don't like that.
I respect your production skills. So okay.
It's all I have.
All right, boys. So I think that was good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever. So this gay show, just let them do it. If these guys are gay and they want to say they're not,
yeah,
it's
no,
fine.
Real questions, actually, just real quick.
Oh yeah.
So okay, so it's just they found this group of men
who happen to be Mormon.
Where are they? Are they in Utah?
Yes.
Okay. But they admit, so they have wives, but they admit that they're attracted to men.
Yes.
The point of the show is to...
I don't know.
Show that they're not gay? I guess, that they can be attracted. I don't understand, but...
But you mentioned, the pray the gay away. Is that what they're going to try and do? They're putting these men through, non-gay exercises?
The guy who was writing to TLC to get... the show removed.
Yes,
is Josh Sandels, who happened to have gone through that therapy.
Oh, okay, but the therapy has nothing to do with the show. It's just
as
the guy
now,
protesting.
No. Okay. Yes,
I don't know. I don't understand. It's just crazy that there's 75,000 people that are willing to sign a petition. I don't even understand what the problem is, and they're like offended enough that they want to sign a petition.
I don't understand the show, to be honest.
No.
It's just like the misadventures of these men who are married but like dudes. I don't know.
Apparently.
That sounds like a lot of Wall Street types in New York City fucking trannies before they get on the train home.
It's transgendered people.
Sorry, transgendered people.
And, it's going to be a lot of this. It's going to be this music in the background. Boom, 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 and it's going to be these two walking around with their wives, and they're going to be looking at dudes' asses. And the wife's going to be like, jab! Sorry, honey.
Yeah.
That's going to be the show.
They talk like that in Utah?
In my mind, everybody that doesn't live in New Jersey or New York kind of talks like that.
Oh.
So people
who live in Connecticut talk like that?
Yep.
I do. When I go,
in New York, so
when
you're
I get back
like
to
that.
Connecticut, I talk like that.
Exactly.
That's how my whole family talks.
You get
fucked
it now.
Up.
You've got it. All right, guys. Hey, great episode. Thank you for listening to it. We really appreciate that.
No. 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, no. I know. I'm just giving a little wrap up. No, but believe me, I'm very excited for Joey to read 50 Shades of Grey. No doubt about it. Oh, we didn't get to this fucking rap parody battle thing again.
Ah.
I mean, what do you think?
Let's do it.
Let's play it.
We want to play it? Okay.
Yeah, all right. This is just, we only have to watch the first part. We
okay.
can just watch
so
the
you
first
tell
part.
Me, but
yeah,
that's fine. All right, so this is a rap battle parody video that Andy thinks is hilarious. I haven't seen it yet. I'm excited to check it out.
Okay, just to give you context of it, you have to go into it thinking, okay, just remember like all the rap battle scenes you've seen in movies where like dudes say something and the crowd freaks out no matter what. So just going all right, with that.
So here we go. This is the rap battle parody on YouTube if you're looking for it.
It has like 5 million views, so I'm sure a lot of people have seen it.
Let's go ahead and get into it. We got our challenger over here.
Yep. T-Bone 225, run my nap.
Rhyme style weak punchlines.
225? Is that an area code or something?
Side hustle, wedding plan. Oh,
shit. T-Steak, let's go ahead and get into our main man, the champion himself. No need for introductions.
Look at his record.
That's like 398 million.
Style hot fire.
He's from Hotville, Mars.
Let's go ahead and get into this little coin toss here.
We got good luck with this.
Good luck.
Hey, about luck. You know what I do? Heads. Okay. You know how I go.
Yep. Tails.
Hey. I go first.
Yeah, but
hey, tell him.
Hold on,
tell
him.
I
want to talk. Super hot. He goes first.
What is this?
I love check me out.
I'm checking.
Get it. I broke up with my ex-girl. Here's a number. What's that shit say? Psych, that's the wrong number.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
It's supposed to be a rap battle.
Yes.
And the dude just doesn't get it.
What? Spit that.
Sweet dollar tea from McDonald's.
Yep.
Yeah.
I drank that. Super hot fire. I spit that. Ooh. 2.5 men. I watched that.
Oh! Not bad.
And it just falls backwards into the gun.
Yeah, and everybody catches it.
That show is hilarious, though.
And it's about the people in the background, too.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a rapper. All right, check me out. Glasses, jacket, shirt. Call me Glasses, Jacket, and Shirt Man.
Call him that.
Call him that.
I'll call me Super Hot Boy, 100 degrees, leather jacket, because I'm super hot, boy.
Now they just wiped his brow with money. Yeah.
We can just watch that part, but yeah. Okay.
That's actually really funny. Yeah, I mean, you got to watch the visual. The guys in the background, there's people taking pictures of him while he's doing it.
Yeah, and like this dude here, like he like, oh, it's so good.
That's really funny, actually. Yeah, you guys should check that out. So that is the rap battle.
And there's like six parts of it. And the two-parter, like the joke he ends with or the rhyme he ends with is he's saying like three things like he did with the McDonald's thing. And then he goes, naps, I take that. And he jumps up like sideways and all his friends catch him. Like there's like six dudes who catch him and he's just like laying down sideways. Oh, it's amazing.
That's great. All right, so check that out. That's really funny. We've been teasing that one for 3 weeks now, I think, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. So guys, thank you again for listening. We're gonna end with the Neil Young song that Andy
after the Gold Rush
for all of you. You're gonna love it. I do want to say this: February 5th, it looks like that's gonna be the first day that we will be live streaming video from Stand Up New York Labs. This podcast, we're starting on the first, but that'll be the first one that we do with this show. So we'll tweet out links, and the links will be in the descriptions on SoundCloud.
You'll get to see us now.
Yeah, you can see where the donuts are made or whatever that expression
is.
Where the magic is done. Right. I gave all the information at the beginning. You heard it already. Tweet us, send us emails, do whatever you want. Snapchats, all that crap. We'll be back every single Thursday at midnight. So you guys can look forward to that. We are going to end. Oh, you know what, Joey? Can I say something real quick right before we get into 50 Shades of Grey? I wrote something. Here's what I wrote. 50 Shades of Grey, here's why it's ridiculous. He's a great-looking, rich dude. Of course he can get her into a BDSM relationship. He's a millionaire. He likes bondage. So, like, so what? Okay.
Well,
it'd be more impressive if this guy was like a garbage man with a lazy eye. That he gets her to wear a leash and like drink out of a dog ball. Then I'm impressed by this guy's skills. Of course, chicks are going to let a millionaire good-looking dude tie them up.
Well what? Yeah. And then further, what relationship have you been in where you couldn't be like, hey, I'm into like handcuffs and shit. Like, could we get down like this? Like a girl, like any girl who's like into having like somewhat fiery sex is going to be like, yeah, sure.
Right.
Like, let's do it.
Right.
Like the fact that like this is such like a taboo thing, it's not. If you've never fucked a girl who's like like got handcuffs or like tied up or like whatever, then like you're not doing it right. That's on you. That was my always my thing about 50 Shades of Grey, guys getting mad at it. It's like if
Who's getting mad at it? Who are these weak dudes?
Dude, exactly. I've heard so many dudes be like, oh, I don't want like my girl reading that. Like it's so fucked up. It's like then you're not doing something right. If that if you have a problem with that book and you don't just catch a little inspiration or something from it, then like you're not doing it right and that's on you.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's so weird. Why wouldn't you
I'm sorry that my mom listens to this show.
It's all right. She stopped listening before.
True.
You're absolutely right. Like, oh, no, my girlfriend's getting horny and wants to like fuck better. Like, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
So crazy.
With that being said, we're going to end this episode with Joseph Anthony Noe III reading a titillating passage from 50 Shades of Grey. Joey, have at it.
You have such a captivating, sexy ass, Anastasia Steele. What I'd like to do to it. His hands smooth and shape each of my buttocks. Then his fingers glide down and he slips two fingers inside me. So wet. You never disappoint, Miss Steele, he whispers. And I hear the wonder in his voice. Hold tight. This is going to be quick, baby. He grabs my hips and positions himself, and I brace myself for his assault.
That's rape culture. I don't like that. Go ahead, Joe.
But he reaches over me and grabs my braid near the end and winds it around his wrist to my nape, holding my head in place. Very slowly, he eases into me, pulling my hair at the same time. All the fullness. He eases out of me slowly, and his other hand grabs my hip, holding tight, and then he slams into me, jointing me forward. Hold on, Anastasia, he shouts through clenched teeth. I grip hard around the post and push back against him as he continues his merciless onslaught again and again. His fingers dipping into my hip. My arms are aching. My legs feel uncertain. My scalp is getting sore from his tugging on my hair.
There's nothing sexy about the word scalp.
And I can feel a gathering deep inside me. Oh no. And for the first time, I feel my orgasm. If I come, I'll collapse. Christian continues to move roughly against me, in me. He's breathing harsh, moaning,
hot breath,
groaning.
He was on the mic.
My body is responding. How? I feel a quickening, but suddenly, Christian stills, slamming really
and
deep.
And Nash and Neil Young.
Come on, Anna, give it to me, he groans. And my name on his lips sends me over the edge as I become all body and spiraling, sensational, and sweat.
Sweet
release. And then completely and utterly mindless.
Wow. Yeah. Oof. Okay.
Oh, my God.
My leg's uncertain. Next time I'm drunk and I'm talking to a cop, oh, I'm so used to that. He's like, why can't you stand up straight? Ah, legs are a little uncertain. Don't know what to do.
That's lunch. The best way to talk to cops is quoting 50 Shades of Grey. They love it.
And Mark Norman.
Yes, they will immediately arrest you. All right, Joey, great job. You like that one?
How big is a braid? That's my question. Is it like wrapped around a few times?
I was confused, but because I thought it read as wrapped it around my hips, and I was like, how long is this woman's hair that she wrapped her? No, he's just grabbing like her hair and like just like doing the under over, and then
there's a couple of passages earlier on in the book where he like braids her hair himself, like when he brings her into the room, he like
braids
her hair.
That's a little gay, right?
Very gay.
You know what, it's if you're gay, you're
if you're slamming
maybe
her,
it's not
gay.
Maybe he's just attracted to men, we don't know. But
and it all comes full circle.
It all comes full circle. I don't know, but anyway, yeah. Terribly written book. It's truly great. And Joey, I really liked the way you read that. That was terrific.
And if you're mad at it, start doing better.
That's right. Don't be a weak ass dude.
Yeah,
be a real ass dude.
Go on the real ass diet and start fucking your chick the right way.
Like Louis J. Gomez of the Real Ass Podcast. Thank you everybody for listening to this episode. We really appreciate it. And that's it. I'm not going to go on a whole prolonged nonsense at the end of this. We will talk to you all in whatever 7 times 24 hours is. Bye.
That's lunch.
Thank you. Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor coming, saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drumming. The archers split the tree. There was a fanfare blowing to the sun that was floating on the breeze. I was lying in a burned out basement with the full moon in my eyes. I was hoping for a replacement when the sun burst through the sky. There was a band playing in my head and I felt like getting high. I was thinking about what a friend had said. I was hoping it was a lie. Thinking about what a friend had said. I was hoping it was a lie. Spaceships lying in the yellow haze of the sun. There were children